I want to welcome you to episode 323 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention, brought to you by Credit Karma. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, but now they're going to help even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can actually be rewarded for good money habits. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. Instant karma. We're going to need it. I have a friend. I have a couple of friends now who are expats. To those who don't know, that's someone who leaves the United States to live in another country. And, you know, there's always been a lot of talk about it, of course. Ted Nugent offered to do it, but he didn't. Anyway, a friend of mine who has moved to Vietnam, he gets the news and he he comments to me every now and then. And sometimes you don't realize how ridiculous something is until someone points it out quite simply. And he said, Americans are putting gas in plastic bags, yet they won't take the vaccine because it's dangerous. You can take it a step farther and say beyond Americans, just say Floridians, because both of these things are happening in Florida, of course. I don't know. What do I say to him? You're wrong. It's not true. The putting gas in plastic bags, I'm not sure. I haven't read the anarchist cookbook or reread it lately, but I think putting gas in a plastic bag is kind of definition of a Molotov cocktail. That's one of the ways you make them. Anyway, he's not wrong, and you wonder why. Why would anything that ridiculous happen? Well, because unfortunately, our government, let's get honest here, Republicans in our government, they're children. They are absolute children. This past week, now there's a rule that if you don't wear your mask, you can get fined $500. In Congress, on the congressional floor, a group of GOP lawmakers refused to wear their masks. As you know, the CDC has said that if you're vaccinated, you won't be needing a mask outdoors or you won't be needing a mask in certain places. Here in California, they said come June 15th, they're going to not require the mask. But these are Republicans. These are lawmakers. They're congresspeople. And just like Ricky Schroeder, pay attention. If you go to Costco and Costco has a rule you have to wear a mask, you can't say, well, the CDC says I don't, because Costco is a private business and they're allowed to say it. Well, the Capitol, despite Republicans' belief that you can just storm it and break windows and attack the building because you're American, some bitch. No, there are rules. There are rules. And if the rule is to wear a mask, what would it be like to be adults and lead by example and say, hey, we're going to wear the mask? No, it's of course the usuals, Lauren Boebert, and who I'm going to talk about later, Marjorie Taylor Greene, etc. They refuse to wear their masks, and if they get fined the $500, they said, it's the best $500 I ever spent. Now tell me this doesn't sound like a child, and I know because I was a smart-ass kid, but doesn't this sound like a kid in junior high school or high school saying, I can break the rules, watch me get away with it, I don't care? It's ridiculous. This is why their constituents put gasoline in plastic bags and wonder why that didn't work out. Put your mask on, grow up, or change the rules in Congress. How about that? How about just change the rules? Say, hey, you know, make a motion, however it's done. This is what's crazy about the anti-maskers. And they've been yelling about this from the day one on the mask. They want their freedom to not wear a mask. You want your freedom to not wear a mask? Get vaccinated. You want herd immunity? When Trump was talking about herd immunity and didn't know what it was, he thought it would be a miracle from the heavens or something. But now science has said, well, if enough of us get vaccinated, we could have herd immunity. And what is the Republican response? We refuse to get vaccinated. What do you do for these children? How do you make the kids happy? You don't want to wear a mask. You don't want the vaccine that would allow you to not wear a mask. You just want freedom. Freedom to do what? I do not know. It is absolutely mind-boggling to me. And on the topic of freedom, and this one, disclaimer, I'm a friend of Joe Rogan. I've been on the podcast 3 or 4 times. I've known Joe for over 20 years. I do not think of Joe as a racist or any of these other things that are thrown at Joe. Joe makes mistakes. Joe's talked, he said things dead wrong and come back and said he was dead wrong. He did that about the vaccine not too long ago. So Joe Rogan and another comic named Joe List, who I know, but I don't know near as well as I know Rogan, were talking about comedy and censorship. And Joe said, ironically, unintentionally, hilariously, that there will come a time when straight white men are censored and not allowed to say anything. Why is that hilarious? Joe, you're a straight white man with the biggest podcast in the world. Millions of people listen to you every week. I think you'll be allowed to say whatever you want to say. I get what they're trying to say, but this is just one of those things that, listen, I disagree with him. I disagree with him. I don't think there will ever come a time when straight white men are not allowed to talk. Might be nice, just for a day. Just for a day. Maybe, hey, here's an idea, straight white men. Listen. What would that be like if you were to actually listen? Listen to people of color. Listen to women. Listen to gays. Listen to others. People who are not straight white men. And be like, wow. But really listen. Not listening in as fear of being attacked or blamed or something. But really listen as if to say, wow, like, what's your life like? Like, what are your problems? What do you deal with? What's unfair to you? And I will say this. Joe has people on his podcast who talk to him about these things. I did Joe's podcast once when he found out that I'm a recovering addict and I had smoked crack back in the 80s and stuff like that. He couldn't wait to get me on to talk about it. And we talked about drugs and we talked about recovery. And a lot of his listeners and fans, you know, called in or wrote or whatever saying, thank you, you know. Hey, listen, Joe is Joe. I am not going to sit here and apologize for being his friend or defend him or anything else. I think he's dead wrong on this one. I think there's some comedic value in it. I didn't hear the podcast, so I'm not going to comment on exactly how it's said. But if Joe ever asks me, I will give him permission as a straight white man to talk. Because, you know, you got a few million people listening to you, Joe. That's all I got to say about that. Of course, people are attacking him. They like to attack Joe. But, you know, when you're... another friend of mine who became very famous in comedy told me, he said, listen, when you become a big name, you become a big target. So that's real. And that's happened. And I think Joe missed on this one. Republicans want to form a new party. There are some stories that I look at and I can't even comment on it. Did you hear about Oregon? Let me tell you what's going on. It's funny with Oregon because a lot of people aren't aware of rural Oregon, Eastern Oregon. Eastern Oregon is like crazy right-wing militia territory. That's where people take over national parks and the government's like, they won't shoot them. They just won't shoot them. But anyway, this is just funny to me. They're always out there waving their flags, talk about America. 5 rural counties in Oregon voted on leaving Oregon and becoming part of Idaho. And 2 other counties had already voted in favor of that idea. And this land-wise would make up most of Oregon, not population-wise, but land-wise. And they said that they don't protect us from rioters and forest arsonists, which was one of theirs, or school curricula to teach kids to hate Americans and Americanism. The hell is Americanism? I don't know. They pass laws that violate our conscience. Yeah. We can't let our money support their system anymore. Blah, blah, blah. We are outnumbered. That's what you need to know. You are outnumbered. And how does voting work? By a majority. That's how voting works. The majority wins. So the majority has voted against your interests, but there are more people there. So that's no, you can't just say, we're mad, so we're going to leave. We're going to become part of Idaho. It doesn't work that way. See, that large population, those population centers in Oregon, you know, like Portland and Eugene and Bend and places where there were, you know, books and universities and all that crazy stuff would explain to you how it works and how government works and legislature and states and borders. And you can't just decide we're going to be part of Idaho. It doesn't work that way. You'd have to have an agreement between the government of Oregon and between the government of Idaho, and it would have to be approved by the federal government. And you know those federal listen, you're in Oregon, you're in the country, you're in rural Oregon, smoke some weed and shoot some guns and relax. All right, just take it easy. You're part of Oregon, and that's how it works. This is like years ago when Northern California wanted to form its own state, the 51st state, or it wanted to be part of Oregon or something like that. And then they legalized weed, which they grow up there, and they were like, oh, we good. We okay. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're going to just be part of Idaho until Idaho does something wrong, till some of them liberal some bitches in Boise do something. Then I don't want to be part of Idaho anymore. Oh, boy. So I was talking about Credit Karma. So let's talk a little more about this, because this is really cool. Now, who doesn't want instant gratification? Everyone likes it. There's nothing wrong with a little, especially now. Some instant gratification would be nice, right? Well, guess what? With Credit Karma money, you could win cash reimbursement for debit purchases. How cool is that? Okay, you go Credit Karma money. It's a new checking account, and you can actually win cash for making purchases. You use your Credit Karma debit I use my mouth to talk, but somehow it just betrayed me. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily Instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. You pay with your debit card. If you win, you're notified on the spot, and the cash is added right back to your account. So you just bought something and then got it for free. This is fantastic. You talk about karma. You talk about instant gratification. Imagine that. You just paid for something. Boom, you win. You got it for free. And I hope you paid for something expensive. Open your FDIC insured spend account for free. There is no minimum balance, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Okay? Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. creditkarma.com/winmoney. Sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See the rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Okay, I've talked about this before. I'm talking about it again. I am sponsored by BetterHelp, and I love being sponsored by BetterHelp.com because they're talking about mental health, right? Now, what interferes with your happiness? Chances are it's you. What's preventing you from achieving your goals? Again, it could be you. It could be in your own head. You think, I'm not good enough to do that. That's too good for me. I'll never achieve that. Any of these sound familiar? I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. Yeah, that's all in your head, okay? BetterHelp will assess you. Here's how it works. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. You can send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. You can schedule weekly sessions through video or phone. You don't have to go out. There's no waiting room. It's more affordable than regular counseling. in-person counseling, I should say. It's available worldwide. Licensed professional counselors who are specializing in depression, stress, anger, LGBT matters, grief, relationships, self-esteem, you name it. Anything you share is confidential. It's convenient, professional, affordable. Okay, here's what you do. I want you to start living a happier life. As a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/Alonzo. Okay, you're joining over a million people. I always say this, you are not the only one. You're joining people who are doing better, people who are getting help. I want you to get help. BetterHelp, HELP.com/Alonzo. 10% off your first month. Thank you. So, here's the thing, and I could probably talk about this for hours, and because I really don't get it. A friend of mine and I, we were talking about this at lunch today. The anti-race people, the people who are against teaching about racism in American history, against teaching about slavery in American history, about teaching the truth in American history, whether it be critical race theory or 1619 Project, or showing that, listen, America has a long history of racism. Much of America was built on racism. Systematic racism is real. And racism, and I talked about this before. Remember we talked about Bruce's Beach, right? In Manhattan Beach, a beachfront property owned by a black family, taken away. Now, 100 years later, they're looking at giving it back and looking at how much it is. And as the man said, if you can have generational wealth, you can have generational debt. But besides that, it's the truth. Listen, systematic racism is real. I know you said that. No, it's not. Perfect example, schools, okay? Back after World War II. Okay, let's look at after World War II, right? The greatest generation comes home. GI Bill. You buy a house. This is when they were talking about, you know, a car in every driveway, a chicken in every pot, et cetera, et cetera. You come home, you use your GI Bill, you buy a house, right? Now, that house is in your family. That house gains equity. That equity can be used by your kids to perhaps buy their houses and start with them. But the other thing is property taxes pay for schools. So you're buying all these homes and these new developments and you're getting new schools and good schools. Well, guess what? Not if you were black. Because if you were black, they redlined areas and they forced you to, but they wouldn't give you a loan to buy a home in a nice area in one of these new developments. No, you were put in the less desirable areas. You were put in the poorer areas and the mortgages they gave you were shaky at best, overpriced. The interest rates were usury. They ripped you off. The schools didn't have any money. There was no tax base. Your kids didn't get the same education as white kids. This is the generational part. Now, if this is happening in the 50s and 60s, well, guess what? It continues. Why? Because in the 70s, when they finally outlawed redlining, it wasn't like it was retroactive. So it wasn't like they went back and helped people who they cheated and wouldn't allow in the nicer homes and the nicer neighborhoods with the good schools for the kids. No, no, you were stuck there. So now you're stuck in this cycle of poverty, okay? This cycle of poverty, things like high interest rates that you can never pay off these loans. You stay in debt. You saw what happened with those payday loan places. Where did you see those payday loan places? Next to liquor stores in minority neighborhoods, neighborhoods of color. This is all part of the system. We're looking at policing, right? Your policing going back to law enforcement or whatever you want to call it when they were chasing down slaves with dogs. Okay, and no, it's not the same, but you certainly don't see white people getting killed by the police the way you see black people getting killed by the police. These they're passing these laws where they don't want you to be able to use the word racism. You can't use the word. They're that afraid of a word. Okay, read 1984, reread 1984. We're starting to change word. You're afraid of a word. Here's my question. How do you teach anything about Martin Luther King? If you don't allow the subject of race in schools, and when you say you're colorblind, it means, well, I'm white, so I don't want to see anything else because others were treated different. It doesn't start today. Now, hopefully improvement starts today, but you can't wipe out the past, and you can't wipe out, you know, I was reading an article about, can an anti-race teacher teach in a black school? And the man who wrote the article said no, because he brought up a good point. He said, listen, nobody has to teach you to love white children, right? These teachers have to learn. They have to be taught that black and brown children are the same, that a child whose hair is different, it's something as simple as your hair being different, the way you dress. If you're a Muslim child and you dress in a Muslim fashion, that doesn't make you any less of a child. I've been to these. I've seen Muslim children laugh. I've heard Muslim children laugh. You know what it is? It's a beautiful sound. This idea, history is already whitewashed, and the idea that you're so afraid of the truth that you want to use the law to guarantee the whitewashing of history being taught to children tells me that you have an intense fear of the truth. That you know what the truth is and you're afraid your kids might find out. It is horrible. It is horrible. Listen, and you've heard this before and it's true. The Germans teach about Hitler and Nazis, so they won't do it again. So they'll stop it. Now there's still extreme right-wingers in Germany, and so it's not perfect. Nothing is. But they certainly teach it and they say, this was the most horrible thing that we did. This was part of our history. They own it. America, white America, own slavery, own racism, accept that it was done. Stop pretending that they were migrant workers who were treated kind of bad. Don't come to us with stories about, oh, some masters love their slaves. Do you know how crazy that sounds? They raped them. Can you talk about that? Will you tell the truth? Stop being afraid of the truth. We're better than that. On the topic of, sorry if that sounded a little preachy, but it just bothers me because the idea of not teaching something and being afraid to teach something and using the state laws to not teach, to not give information, blows my mind and ruin. If it weren't real, if it weren't today, it would be beyond belief. That's all I'm saying. So, speaking of future generations, let's talk about deficit spending. Why? Well, because we have a Democratic president. Whenever there's a Democratic president, Republicans have a serious problem with deficit spending. Now, when there's a Republican president and they want to cut taxes to all the rich and the deficit goes through the roof, no problem at all. But the minute a Democrat comes in, they're mortgaging your grandchildren's future. And I read this piece and I learned about this, and it's actually very simple, and I will be the first to admit that although it's simple, I never thought of this, but it's true. You're not mortgaging children's future because government debt, okay, the deficit is paid by bonds. People buy bonds. So for every bond they sell, which say the government sells a $100 bond, right? That's a $100 debt to the government that the government has. Now they have $100. But guess what? It's also a $100 asset someone has. So your kid, say this bond matures in 10 years, your kid collects the $100 that was spent today. You see what I mean? It evens out. And these rich people should be happy because rich people buy most of these government bonds. And if they leave these bonds to their grandchildren, not only will their grandchildren collect the money that's being spent through the bonds, it'll be paid by working people who actually pay taxes, not the upper privileged class that don't. So you should really be happy, rich people, because you're by buying these bonds and the creating the deficit, you're actually giving your grandchildren assets that will be paid by poor people. And what makes you happier than knowing you're getting money from poor people? Celebrate the deficit. Be happy. Your grandchildren will live off the labor of poor people's grandchildren. That's right. Just like you're living off the labor of poor people today, your grandchildren will live off the labor of poor people in the future. What could be better? Okay. Also, a lot of this debt, well, not a lot, but one third of the debt is sold overseas. But we buy things from overseas. And it seems when we buy things from overseas, China, Japan, etc., the value goes up faster than our debt. So we're actually ahead of the game on that one. Deficit spending hasn't ruined. If deficit spending was going to ruin the country, it would have happened by now, because this was the whole thing under Reagan. Huge deficits run up, huge deficits under Reagan. Remember, Clinton had to balance the budget. And then, so that would, Reagan was 40 years ago, right? Almost 50 years ago. And we didn't go broke. Don't worry. We're not going broke. We're going to be all right. Rich people, you will still be rich because you are buying bonds, and the bonds are what create the deficit, but will also be paid back by the government. It's just a loan. It's a wash. It works out. Stop pretending that it's the end of the world because of Democrats in charge. I talked earlier about Lauren Boebert. You know, these people, when they call out the Bible, shouldn't they have read it? So she put out a tweet. What's your favorite Bible verse? Why would you do something like that? They destroyed her for this. One tweet, he took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, referring to the golden calf in the Bible. And they show the picture of the golden Donald Trump statue. John said, and John, what an appropriate name for a Bible guy. John, you should know the Bible. Your name is John. Yes, the Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination in Leviticus 18:22. Leviticus is a tough book, a lot of rules in Leviticus. But it also says eating shrimp is an abomination. So why do Christians eat shrimp but oppose homosexuality? Okay. Here's a great one. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. That's Matthew 25 verses 31 to 40. That's not exactly building a wall. I don't think. I think Jesus said you welcomed me. somebody broke it down more and more. This is great. You shall not wrong or oppress an immigrant, Exodus 22:21. The immigrant who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you. Leviticus, once again, Leviticus don't play. If it's in Leviticus, they mean it. Cursed be anyone who deprives the immigrant of justice. That's in Deuteronomy. Do no wrong or violence to the immigrant. That's Jeremiah 22:3-5. They're still rolling. And then another one. Okay, Lauren. This one came from CB is Big Baby Jesus. Big Baby Jesus in his nickname. He knows what he's talking about. He said his favorite verse, that's the one where Jesus told his followers that he would not heal them for free because it was socialism. And he told refugees to go back where they came from. Yeah. Lauren, don't ask about the Bible. You've never read it. Finally, and I say finally, I could go on forever, but I like this one because here in California, we got some crazy drivers. And you ever yell out your window, where'd you buy your license? Well, I guess you could have bought your license in Torrance or Lincoln Park. That's right. DMV workers are caught taking bribes. They've been arrested. They have accepted tens of thousands of dollars in payoffs. Taking cash bribes to help people pass their driving tests. Not just regular driving tests, but endorsements that truck drivers need. You may need an endorsement for hazardous materials or endorsement to carry passengers, etc., etc. Wow. So they're going after the State Department of Motor Vehicles, appointing its third director this year and backing an overhaul of the agency's practices. Wow. These lines are going to get even longer. Yeah, they took bribes to give driver's licenses to truck drivers, etc., etc. They help people take the test. Wow. Hewell Kennedy, a DMV employee, admitted to taking weekly bribes, and it came to a total of more than $50,000. Amazing. Amazing. Atanasio Villegas, a license registration examiner in Torrance from 2010 to 2016, he was like the there was a network of brokers who would contact him because they couldn't pass their driver exam. The brokers sent the bribes to him. He sent it to DMV employees. There were cash drives. This guy would be passing out the money. Wow. I guess you can buy a driver's license. Okay. Update. KBLA.com. KBLA 1580. Unapologetically progressive talk radio is coming. We have a start date. I told you, I'm going to be the afternoon drive host from 4 to 7. Juneteenth is the launch date. June 19th is the launch date for KBLA. What does that mean? That means that's a Saturday. So on Monday, June 21st, I am going to move to radio. I will be on the radio every day talking like I'm talking to you now. It's going to be fantastic. Progressive talk radio. What's going to happen to the podcast? It's going to go on hiatus. I'm going to just set it to the side while I do radio. If you are not in LA, you will be able to listen through the website, kbla.com. There'll be an app so you can still hear me. You can still get me. We're going to try this. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. So thank you for your support. Please go to kbla.com. Just sign up for the updates. We're coming. We're going to just, it's myself, Tavis Smiley, DL Hughley. Dr. Johnson is going to have a show on relationships. It's going to be great. It's KBLA is coming, and I'm coming with them. Juneteenth, we have a launch date. Thank you, people. Who's paying attention? You are. And as always, you guys are fantastic.